nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
All right. I'm AJ Metcalf, and I'm going to talk about dual comb spectroscopy. Dual comb spectroscopy basically measures the absorption of atoms and molecules as a function of their wavelength. It depends on the energy level structure of the molecule. And it happens that IR frequencies cause a molecule to absorb energy and vibrate in a fingerprint region, or call it the fingerprint region. Each of these vibrational frequencies, or the energy structure of the molecules, are different, which causes unique vibrational structure for each molecule. So you allow it to identify the molecule, which is why it's called the fingerprint region, if that made sense. And this region ranges from around 10 to 100 terahertz. So traditional Fourier transform spectroscopy was used for this because it requires a broad bandwidth. And with the traditional spectroscopy, they used incoherent sources, which could cover the large bandwidth to cover the full fingerprint region or parts of it, which required long acquisition times. In the 1990s, when they came up with stabilized femtosecond lasers and mode-like frequency combs, this revolutionized spectroscopy. Now we had rulers in the frequency domain that we could specifically measure the phase and amplitude at different locations. Direct comb spectroscopy is the same basic idea for everything. We measure it the same way, but what is different is how we gather our data. And there's a bunch of different examples shown over there. The hard part is resolving the data, and in order to get the high resolution, we want to be able to resolve line by line. Most of these don't do that. One that does would be spreading the different comb frequencies in space and resolving it on some kind of detector array, like a CCD detector up there in the corner. The problem with that is to get higher resolution, you have to keep changing your comb parameters and move them around. And also the acquisition times are longer. And they don't have arrays like that available in all portions of the fingerprint region that we want to look at. So a solution to this would be dual comb spectroscopy, which with the right settings allows you to get the correct amplitude and phase off of the individual comb lines. Just a quick reference to the frequency combs. So this is be like a pulse train in the time domain. And with the envelope function, if you took just the Fourier transform or the envelope function, you'd end up with a frequency comb spaced along with these dashed lines here. What happened in the 90s when they came out with mode-locked lasers, they were able to spread the frequency enough where they were able to determine this phase offset right here. And that's from the difference in the group velocities and phase velocities caused the carrier phase offset. The difference between this carrier frequency and this, and how that the carrier frequency phase changes from here to here, determines this frequency shift. And once you know that frequency shift and you know the repetition rate, you know everything you need to know to control exactly where these comb lines are and the absolute frequencies of the combs, which is important in spectroscopy. So this is an example of the dual comb spectroscopy. You have two comb sources, and they both have slightly different repetition rates. And one of your comb sources will interrogate your sample, and the other comb is used as a reference to down-convert that signal into the RF domain, where it can be sampled and processed with electronics. So there's two ways to look at this. There's looking in the time domain, which you end up with pulses with different repetition rates, and it's like taking in interferogram or like a cross correlation of a bunch of different times. And then if you see the data that you get, it looks kind of like a cross correlation. In the frequency domain, you end up with frequencies that are the same, and then they're spaced by repetitions of the difference in the two rep rates of the lasers. So if the first laser is spaced at 1, then 1 spaced at 3, then these would be spaced at 2, 4, 6, 8. So when it goes to the photodiode, the beating happens between these nearest pairs here. So if this is the initial change in the frequencies, you get a beat at, you get a beat here, and then this would be twice that, you get a beat here, so you end up with an equally spaced comb in the RF region. The problem is, if I want to sample this frequency right here, it has the same RF beat as this frequency right here. So there's different ways to get rid of that, get rid of the aliasing, so you just have one frequency end up in one location in the RF domain, and one way to do that would be with a filter. So the Nyquist sampling rate says that the bandwidth of the comb divided by the comb spacings, which is the amount of optical points you have, has to be less than the amount of points you have in the RF domain, which would be the comb spacing divided by the RF spacing and also divided by 2. The minimum acquisition time for this would be 1 over the RF repetition rate, which is fast compared to other spectroscopies. And the beat signal relies on the offset frequency and also the repetition rate, which makes the stabilization of the comb important. So before, when they found out what F0 and the repetition rate are, that allowed us to find the absolute frequencies. And to stabilize these absolute frequencies throughout the measurements is important. One way to do that would be to lock different comb lines to CW lasers, as they did in the picture down here. Another way that people do it in spectroscopy is you get all of your absorption sample, and you put some kind of tracker or trace gas in there that you know a known absorption line. And then when you look at your data, you find that absorption line in the data, and then you can find out where the actual frequencies are. Use it like as a marker. This would be an example of the data you get, the interference data in the time domain. So this would be your pulse. This is a zoom in. You can see here clearly the free induction decay from the back, and then this is rephasing that's going on. Looks kind of like a nuclear magnetic resonance, if you're familiar with that. If you Fourier transform that, then you get your spectrum, and you can see the little notches in the spectrum that correlate to different absorptions. So another thing that's done is, well, when you're doing trace gas detection, so a lot of these experiments, they end up being just like in a laboratory where you have gas in a jar or something, or a condensed region, and you're sensing that gas. But if you want to sense gas in the atmosphere or trace gas detection, there's less molecules to absorb, and you need higher sensitivities in your equipment. Traditionally, this is done with narrowband lasers because they're very, very sensitive, but you have to sweep them across the whole spectral range. And even more recently, frequency combs have been coupled to high finesse cavities, but they were detected with the CCD arrays, as I talked about before. Recently, a group with Hansch, I think he was one of the guys who got the Nobel Prize for frequency combs in the first place. But they coupled enhancement cavity to one of the arms of the frequency comb generator. And by phase locking that cavity, it means that frequency comb light is going to go through that cavity multiple times, and it's going to enhance the absorption properties or the absorption effects that it has in the frequency comb, increasing the sensitivity. And they found that works very well, and they got the best of both worlds, the fast acquisition of the dual frequency combs, the broad bandwidth, the higher resolution, and the sensitivity of the high finesse cavity. Another good aspect of the dual comb spectroscopy is the time domain. Because of the coherent pulses, you're able to get high time resolution and high frequency resolution. So this would be a picture of a sonogram of Fourier transform data over different amounts of time. And you can see the top one. The top one is you can see the Doppler broadening is the main dephasing or rephasing that's happening up there. Whereas a higher pressure cell down here shows, that there's other aspects like collisions between molecules and stuff that causes it to deface faster in time. And these are important because you can show molecular processes as they happen. They're time resolved, where some spectroscopies can't do that. So the advantages to this, there's high frequency accuracy, 2 to 8 orders of magnitude, improvement in accuracy over the state of the art for your transform spectroscopy, high frequency resolution, 50 to 100 megahertz, typically, traditional Fourier transform spectroscopy is hard to accomplish due to the long travel distances in the interferometer. The longer distance L you have in your interferometer gives you the higher resolution. But to get to higher resolutions, the distance it becomes difficult, and also the mechanical stages make acquisition time longer. Dual cone spectroscopy has no moving parts. The limitations: combs still don't cover all parts of the spectrum like we need them to, compared to the traditional Fourier transform method, and also they rely on highly stabilized combs, which for the high resolution and the high resolution applications can be quite a setup, which would make it difficult, or it could be made more robust.